I am humbled and appreciative of the opportunity to be able to share what God has put on my heart and be able to share it over a four-week period. Never got the opportunity to do that before. Maybe made a little nervous. I'm usually not nervous when I preach, but maybe made a little bit nervous because of the run-up, you know, just listening to pastors say, just come back tonight to see something that's never happened in the history of the universe. Well, now you know that if pastor ever says that, it might not be something that exciting. but... Oh, biblical cancel culture. Tonight you're going to be looking at canceling the old man. I do want to say before we get started, no, I'm not talking about Larry Petrie. I told Pastor he was going to say that, and he just laughed, so I figured it was okay. But biblical cancel culture. Now, if you've been watching the news and paying attention to our culture today, you've probably heard the term cancel culture. Yeah. Cancel culture, really, I would say, is not something, just the cancel culture in our culture today is not something I would say is good. But I want to, if we really think about what cancel culture is, let's think about that tonight, can we? We think about what cancel culture and what it is in our culture today. It's there's a standard that is in our culture that when someone violates that standard, they are canceled. The society swoops in and tries to make it impossible for them to they get fired from their jobs. They can't get hired. It's impossible for them to do anything. There's no coming back from it. Now, I thought about preaching the response to cancel culture, a Christian's response to cancel culture, but that's not what God has for us. Because as I was just reading the Bible, God showed me that, hey, there should be a biblical cancel culture. Now, that doesn't mean that we're going to look at Larry Petrie and say, Larry, that's not good. You're canceled. No, that means we look within. Right. Yes. And see things in our lives that aren't good, and we cancel them. Biblical cancel culture. Can we look at that tonight? See, for our biblical cancel culture, can I just say this? Just like the cancel culture in our society today, biblical cancel culture, can I say, we do have a standard. We have a current standard. Now, this standard, unlike American cancel culture, this standard ain't changing. In fact, he never changes. See, our standard is found in the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. You see, he is our example because of who he is. Now, I could take all next week and just show you who he is, starting in the Old Testament and just working our way all the way through, because really the Old Testament, that's who the Old Testament is speaking about. But let's start just real quickly in the New Testament. We learn in Matthew chapter 1, verse number 23, at the end of it, that he is God with us. Amen. Jesus Christ is God with us. We learn in John chapter 1, verse number 1, it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. Now, I remember reading those verses when I was young and just wondering, well, who's the Word? Well, that's what we find in verse number 14, where it says, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. You see, Jesus is our example because he is God. He is the creator and the sustainer of everything, and he is full of grace and truth. And the thing that amazes me, the more I think about it, is we have this God that we can worship and have a personal relationship with, who is so amazing, is so great, and so wondrous, so powerful, yet he can still relate to us. We see in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15, it says, for we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but he was in all points tempted like as we are, but yet without sin. See, Jesus Christ came to this earth, and he lived on this earth as a man, 100% man, 100% God, yet without sin. He's a perfect example. Someone who can, he knows what it is to be human. He knows the pain. He knows the suffering. He knows the temptation. And listen, even though he was tempted, in every single moment, he never gave in to temptation. He is our perfect example. In fact, as Christians, the word Christian really means little Christ. He is our example. He is our standard. Look at Ephesians chapter 4, verse number 20. Says, but ye have not so learned Christ. You know who Christ is, if so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus. Verse number 1 of chapter 4, you go back there and we see Paul writing. He says, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy. Follow the example. You walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called. In other words, being called a Christian. Verse number 1 of chapter 5 says, be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us. In other words, follow his example. Follow his standard. He is our example. It says that exact thing in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 21. It says, for even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example, that ye should follow his steps. This made me think about Kobe Bryant. I'm a Lakers fan, and so I grew up watching Kobe and listening to different things. I'm seeing some faces that are like, ugh, some faces that are like, okay. But I remember watching and listening to some of the things he said. And one of the people that he looked to for an example was Michael Jordan. And he said that he because of his body type, and his body really was fashioned really a lot like Michael Jordan, that he looked to Michael Jordan as his example. And he would watch film and watch his moves and go out and practice and try to emulate those moves. Now, can I say this? I was a fan of Kobe Bryant. And I would watch the things that he did in basketball games and just be absolutely amazed by them. I remember one time where he pump faked a guy, and the guy jumped up, and so the guy jumped up, and so Kobe just spun around as the guy went by, and then just went up for a wide open uncontested shot because everyone was completely faked out. And I was amazed by that move, so I had to try it. And I went out to the basketball court the next day, and I came up to a person and I pump faked him. And he went up, and I went around, and he went by. It was perfect. And I'm thinking in my head, like, wow, that really worked. And then I shot it, and no. I was so amazed that everything else had worked that I completely missed. I think it might have been an air ball. It was bad. But you see, the thing is I looked at Kobe and the things he did and tried to emulate it, but I couldn't. But you know what? Michael Jordan won 6 NBA championships. You know, Kobe Bryant won 5. He did a pretty good job, I would say, emulating. Do you want to know the difference between Kobe Bryant and myself, besides all the height? The time and effort. He was dedicated to it. Every second of his day, he was engulfed in it. And every second of our day, listen, we need to be engulfed with who Christ is, because he is our standard. Now, being our standard, he is expounded to us by the Holy Spirit through the Word of God. We are shown who our standard is. This Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13 says, "In whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory." When a person trusts Christ as their Savior, the Holy Spirit indwells that person. And we're told in Scripture that the reason for his coming is that he would reprove the world of sin, John 16:8, and of righteousness and of judgment. He enlightens us. He illuminates the Scriptures. He opens our eyes that we may behold wondrous things out of the law. It's like getting ready in the morning and you go to the mirror. I hope you turn the light on. But when you go to the mirror, you look in the mirror and you see the things that need to change. Yeah. The Holy Spirit is the one that when we go to the Word of God, it's like opening a mirror and we see the things that need to change. You say, where do you get that illustration? Well, I'm not being very creative. It's just from the Bible. James chapter 1, verse 23 says, "For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was." We've all seen the people who we can tell if they looked in a mirror, they didn't really look that hard, right? We've all seen those, especially if you've ever been to college, a freshman in college, and you see the person next to you who, man, they need to comb their hair. It's everywhere. That's why I keep my hair short, because if I don't, it's everywhere. But listen, can I just say this? Is when we look at the Word of God, and the Holy Spirit illuminates His Word to us, and we see things that need change, but then we don't change them. Do you know what we really do? Is in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 30, it says, "And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God." We grieve the Holy Spirit. Guys, we need to cancel the old man. I think about just having children now, think about, you know, what grieves a father more when their child does something that they're not supposed to do, or when a child does something they're not supposed to do after they were told not to do it. And how many times does the Holy Spirit speak to us and show us things that we need not to do or things we need to change, and we don't do it? We need to be like the one in verse number 25 of James chapter 1. It says, "But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work. This man shall be blessed in his deed." See, we have a current standard, and that current standard is illuminated to us through by the Holy Spirit. But we also, I want us to see tonight our current struggle. Our current struggle. If you trusted in Jesus Christ tonight, I want to say that I hope that God has been leading you and perfecting you and leading you into more and more righteous living. In other words, closer to Him and closer to into the image of Christ. But at the same time, listen, I know I'm not perfect yet. Even though I might be perfect in the sight of God because of Christ, I still sin. I still have a current struggle. And if we're all honest, we all still have a current struggle. You see, our current struggle comes from our common past. Ephesians 5:8, the beginning of that verse says, "For ye were sometimes darkness." Ephesians 4:22, again, the beginning of the verse, it says, "That ye put off concerning the former conversation," in other words, the former lifestyle, "the old man." 1 Corinthians 6, 9 through 11 says, "Know ye not that that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetousness, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God." Whew! Stop right there, right? No. Verse number 11, And such were some of you, but ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. We have a common past. Listen, we were all born sinners. None of us, it doesn't matter whose family you were born into, we were all born sinners in need of a Savior. But listen, when we trust Christ, we are not sinless at that point. We haven't not yet reached sinless perfection. Again, listen, our standing with God, God has forgiven all sins, past, present, and future. But we still struggle. We war with the flesh. You think about this passage in Ephesians. Listen, Paul is talking to who? Christians. And he's telling them in verse number 17, "Therefore, this I say unto you, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind." Now, can I just say this? There are some times when I'll sit Charlie down and tell him, "Listen, we need to make sure we can't do this because you're going to die if you do." And I'll do that preemptively. But can I say, most of the time when I'm correct, when I say don't do this, it's because he's doing it. It's because he's already involved. He's already sticking his finger in the outlet. That kid scares me sometimes. I'm just going to say that right now. I love that kid, though. He's so cute. Might be a little biased, but he's the cutest kid in the world, I tell you. Equal with Kobe. Kobe's my other son. I'm not talking about Kobe Bryant at that point. All right. But most of the time I tell Charlie what not to do is because he's already doing. And really, Paul is saying, like, listen, you guys are not walking the way you should. You're walking like Gentiles. Stop it. Stop it. You see, the church in Ephesus had an incomplete... They had not reached sinless perfection. They weren't perfected yet. Listen, at some point, can we praise the Lord? We will be perfect. Amen. We will live without sin, but that time hasn't come yet. This time hadn't even come for Paul. Someone who, again, we say this so many times, but so many people say that he was the greatest Christian to ever live. But he even says this, Philippians 3:12 says, "Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after that I may apprehend that which I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." The tongue twister, I love the tongue twister, he writes in Romans chapter 7, says, "For I know that that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing, for to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. For the good that I would, I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do." Can we all just be a little honest tonight and admit that there are times we want to follow God. We want to serve God. We want to do His will and only His will. But so many times we just allow the flesh to sneak in and we find ourselves doing the things we don't want to do. Can I just sum up what Paul is saying here? Stop it. Cancel it. Cancel it. Romans 6:12 says, "Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal bodies, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield yourselves members as instruments or weapons of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourself unto God." as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. Listen, he's telling us, Christian, you have a choice, and every single day, every single decision is a choice on how to yield yourself as an instrument of righteousness or an instrument of unrighteousness. And we need to make sure that we're canceling the old man. We need to make sure that we're yielding ourselves the right way. We're yielding ourselves to God. We first see that we have a current standard, the standard of the Lord Jesus Christ, God in the flesh. We then saw our current struggle. Listen, we're not perfect yet. But in this passage, we also see that we are commanded separate. We are commanded to be separate. Let's first look at we are commanded to cancel. We are commanded to cancel. Ephesians 4, verse number 17 says, "This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind." In other words, doing whatever they want to do that has no lasting impact, that has no eternal value. "Having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over to lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness. But ye have not so learned Christ, if so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off," in other words, cancel, "the former conversation, your former way of life, cancel the old man, which is corrupt, according to the deceitful lusts." The Bible says that we are drawn away of our own lust and enticed. Listen, those lusts, the Bible says right here, they're deceitful. You get in those situations where you're tempted, and it seems like, man, I want that. I need that. That has to be mine. What always happens when we follow after that, when we give in to that? Be honest, we're disappointed. Yep. We're not full.
Right.
We're left empty.
True.
But how many times do we just continue and continue and continue? This past year, I challenged my students to look back over the last 2 years and think about who they were and how they acted, the sins they were struggling with 2 years ago. And I wanted them to write down, how are you closer now to Christ than you were 2 years ago? And I wonder if I asked you to do the same thing, what could you write down? How are you closer to Christ now? How are you more like Christ now than you were 2 years ago? What sins has God allowed you to have victory over now that maybe you were struggling with 2 years ago? To be honest, I was saddened by looking at some of the answers that they gave. So many of them writing, and I told them, listen, if you can't see anything, just write that. Be honest with yourself. But I remember seeing so many who said, I'm no different. I'm no closer to Christ. Or some that said, well, I read my Bible. Well, I'm glad you read your Bible. But listen, I know people who have read the Bible through many times, who have memorized multiple books, who have written, who know Greek and who know Hebrew. They read the Bible time and time and time and time and time again. They're not even Christians. How has Christ changed you? if we were to compare how you live your life to how the world lives their life, is there a difference? Does the stuff you do have a lasting impact? Listen, Ephesians 5:8, for you were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light. Listen, as Christians, we now have the power and the strength through Christ to live righteously. We don't have that in ourselves. That is simply because of the Holy Spirit of God indwelling in us. You know something? It is great to have a 2-year-old son. I love it. He was following me around before church one time that, you know, we were looking around and he kind of lost and I realized that he was back trying to play with the computers. And, you know, I love that he loved technology already. But, you know, the funny thing is, Charlie's 2. He just turned 2 in June. You know what's amazing to see? It's amazing to see just in just the 2 years how much he already acts like me. I was thinking the same thing, Brother Mott. But it's pretty amazing. And if any of you have kids, you know what I'm talking about, right? Your kids pretty quickly take on your characteristics. Why is it so easy for kids to take on the characteristics of their father, but for us so hard to take on the characteristics of ours? You want to know why? It's because we're unwilling to cancel the old man. It's because we don't take the steps. It's because we don't hunger and thirst after it. One of the things that even just recently, literally, I've wanted to do it for a while, but haven't done it just because it's just really hard for me to do is keep a journal. Just keep a daily journal. And the reason I do it is because I want to write down my struggles, my victories, write down what I'm dealing with, and even, you know what, ways that I can have victory. Because I don't want to walk around like a fool. I want to walk around like a wise man. And listen, when I fall into something, I want to look and see, well, how can I not fall in that again? Listen, it'd be really stupid. I know I just said stupid from the platform. Oh, man. It'd be really stupid to walk and then fall into a hole, to get back up, climb back up and walk around, and then as you're on your way back, not even pay attention and fall into that same hole. But we do it all the time because we don't take the steps to make sure we don't fall in that hole again. I can't tell you how many, I've worked with teenagers for so long now, I can't tell you how many teenagers who have fallen into sin, and the reason they fell into sin is because they had computers in their bedroom, or they allowed to have their phones in their bedroom, and they fell into sin. And they get convicted about it. But they keep falling into sin, why? Because the computer doesn't get out of the bedroom. We're all shaking our heads. But listen, I wonder, is there some sin that you're dealing with, that you've been dealing with for a long time, that you haven't been willing to get rid of it, you haven't been willing to look at this hole and say, how can I not fall in anymore? We need to walk as wise men, to walk circumspectly, to look around and say, how can I make it hard to sin and easy to do right? Cancel the old man. Cancel the ability for him to come back. And you know what? If you have to take extreme measures, take extreme measures. If your right hand offend you, what does it say? Cut it off. Now, that doesn't mean if you did something wrong with your right, cut it off. No, listen. If you have a computer in your bedroom and it causes you to keep falling and keep sinning, get rid of it. If you have to break it, if you have to completely just destroy it in order to have victory, then do it. Better for you to live without a computer And I keep falling into that stupid hole. Cancel it. So the Bible says in Romans 6:6, knowing this, that the old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. Listen, sin was your master. Sin was your slave master, but as a Christian, sin is not your slave master anymore. You are now a servant of God. You are now a slave of God. But can I say this? Praise the Lord that he doesn't just call us a servant. In John chapter 15, he calls us his friends. We need to do the will of our master. Yeah. Listen, the Bible says Matthew chapter 6, verse 24, it says, no man can serve two masters. Listen, a slave cannot serve two masters. When someone is a slave, they're the property of someone. Listen, and I'm not saying slavery is good, but it's just saying when someone's the property of someone, they can't serve two masters. They can't do the complete will of two masters. You're either going to love the one and despise the other, and that's it. You can't do it. Christians, we need to cancel the old man. And listen, the reason we need to cancel our old life, we need to cancel the old man is because we have a command to cancel, but also we have a command to conform. The Christian life is not about, listen, the Christian life is not about being different from the world. Now, we need to be different from the world, but the Christian life is not about being different from the world. The Christian life is about becoming more like Christ. Amen. That's right. Amen. Romans 8:29 says, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. You say, how do we do that though? Yeah, I've heard it so many times that I need to be more like Christ. I want to be. I really want to be more like Christ. But how? How do I do it? Listen, the Bible says, in Ephesians 4:23, it says, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Listen, we need to walk according to God's word. If God's word says it, that's what we should do. Listen, Paul says this so many times. It says, Ephesians 4:1, is I therefore, the prisoner of Paul, beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called. Colossians 1:10 says that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. 1 Thessalonians 2:12, that ye should walk worthy of God who hath called you unto his kingdom and glory. 2 Corinthians 5:7. How we walk that way is we walk by faith and not by sight. We walk by faith. In other words, we walk by the word of God and how he says that we should walk. Listen, without compromise. Without compromise. Because without faith, it is impossible please him. You say, how do I do that? One of my favorite verses, and a verse I constantly remind myself of, is Psalm 119, not verse 9. It says, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? In other words, go the right way. Cleanse his way. It says, by taking heed thereto according to thy word. Here's what it's about. Can I just say this? It's about hungering and thirsting after God's word and after righteousness. And when God shows you something, when God speaks to you through preaching, when God speaks to him, when you're meditating and dwelling on his word, then it's then changing what needs to change. Taking time. How many of us we're listening to preaching, we're reading the Bible, and God says, I don't like this in your life. And he said, yeah, I need to change that. and we just get up and go on our way, and we don't actually even think about it anymore. Now, what we need to do is when God says, change this, you think about, how does that happen? How do I change it? What step do I need to take to change this? Sometimes you might say, well, I don't even know how to study the Bible. I don't even know how to read the Bible and how to figure out what the Bible's saying. Can I give you a hint? And I give this hint to so many people. If you're reading the Bible and you don't understand it, and you have questions like as to what this means, can I tell you something? This is why we have question and answer services. For you to get the answers. But at the same time, you don't have to wait for a question and answer service to come with your questions. If you're reading the Bible, if you're meditating on Scripture, you're saying, I don't know what this means, write down your questions and find someone who can help you with it. Listen, can I tell you one thing we will never get tired of is answering questions about the Bible and about God and about the things of God. We will never get tired. Listen, we love those things. You want to know why? Because it'll help you grow. And there's one thing we want you guys to grow in Christ. We want this church to grow in Christ, to know him more, to know his peace, to know his joy, to know him. And you know what has to happen before that can? We need to cancel the old man. Now you think, how is this going to be a 4-week series? Well, Paul, when he begins this section of Scripture, really, he's very broad. I didn't really mention that many specific sins tonight. And neither did Paul. But as we go on, we're going to start looking at specifics. Paul gives specifics. Come on, let me just tell you, nothing is dynamic unless it is specific. So I just want to get rid of sin. Okay, what sin? What sin? So the next 3 weeks after tonight, we're going to look at how... What sins, some sins that we need to, that the Bible says we need to cancel. Next week, we're going to look at sins of the attitude. Sins of attitude. 2 weeks, we're going to look at sins of the tongue. And last week, we're going to look at sins of false teaching and canceling them. Because Christian, we are commanded to walk worthy. You know what? I want to do whatever it takes in my life to do that. And my question to you tonight, will you do whatever it takes to do that?